Star Tribune's Prep Sports Podcast is brought to you by Becker Furniture World, Franzen Bank and Trust, Menards, and Carrier.
And welcome back to the Star Tribune's Talking Preps Podcast. I'm David Levake with Jim Paulson. Not much going on, Jim.
Yeah, really. We've got the cross country roundup here today.
What are we going to fill our time with here today?
I don't know what there's to talk about. Holy cow!
Don't be ripping on the smart kids that run fast. By the way,
pardon? What's that?
Don't be cutting the smart kids that run fast short. They you know that cross country is good stuff.
It's a lifetime sport. They'll be doing it for years, and they'll always have a flatter belly than I do.
There you go. The high school league made a lot of news yesterday and again today. The news, of course, that the meeting has been scheduled for next Monday to possibly make a decision on whether or not to reinstate football and volleyball for this fall. And I say possibly make a decision because even though they're calling a special meeting, and even though there's a clamoring for some sort of decision, one may not be made, or they might say that we know what we're keeping to no football and no volleyball in the fall. It's hard to say, but it's coming, and it's going to have the attention of the entire state.
Yeah, it sure feels like a change is going to be made. I mean, the high school league has always been very – firm in the decisions they've made over the years, and they don't often revisit things, and the fact that they are re-looking at the decision they made 6 weeks ago, you know, with plenty of information at hand, I think is indicative that might see some change coming down the road. But you don't want to commit to that because you never know what might happen by that time. But it does seem like it's something to keep an eye on, because who knows, maybe in a couple of weeks we could be playing football again.
Yeah. And I, in the spirit of football and the fact that in the normal circumstances, we would be doing a pick segment in print every Friday, we're going to close this podcast with our picks on how we think things are going to go Monday's meeting. So that'll be the crescendo of this podcast.
That's a tease. They call that.
That's right. We call it in the business tease. I was listening in on the 3-hour, 55-minute meeting on Monday, Tuesday, and listening to the discussion about, whether or not to, what are the pros and cons of restating football? And we heard from the Minnesota Department of Health. We heard from board members, and a lot of points to be made either side. And you've been working closely with the Let 'Em Play parent group. What are some of the things, what are the essence of their pro football stance? Let's unpack some of this a little bit and kind of get into the back and forth of it.
Well, I think the first and foremost is obviously just the desire to play. I mean, anytime you're restricted from doing something and you have something taken away from you, there's going to be a backlash and people are going to want it back. So I think that's pretty obvious what is probably the main impetus here. But I think you've also got a growing body of things that showing that you can play football with precautions taken, with protocols set, and that it's happening in other places. South Dakota, for example, North Dakota, Wisconsin's going to be starting up here soon, Iowa. So you've got examples of football being played with, like I said, certain precautions and being taken, and the world hasn't fallen apart, and we haven't seen massive outbreaks of positive coronavirus, cases getting more and more. So I'm thinking that's what's driving it. You've got 6 weeks ago when they made this decision, you didn't have all the information that you have now, and it's actually information that has been culled from people actually playing the sport, and it's really hard to deny that. I know that in the state of South Dakota, for example, the let him play Minnesota. People met with members of the South Dakota medical community, including a doctor for Stanford Health, that was basically saying he was more concerned about mental health issues of kids not being able to play than the possible transmission of coronavirus. And he's a pretty well-respected doctor over there. And I know South Dakota is on the other side of coronavirus precautions. They've, you know, kind of been beating the drum for personal responsibility and not mandates, so I can understand that. But I know that there's a lot of people out there that have gathered, and when you get this many people supporting a cause, that ball starts rolling, and it's hard to ignore.
Well, to their credit, they've got some substance to their argument, but let's not forget there's also an emotional component that exists, and you know, wanting to get that, you know, season for little Johnny, which may be little Johnny's last football season. Football is the, you know, probably the ultimate sport in terms of sacrifice. You know, there is no off-season tackle football league that you can play like AAU basketball or JO volleyball. So I'm thinking that feeling is, you know, we sacrificed a lot already. We wear masks every time we go to the grocery store, and you know, and we're just, this is, we're, you know, kind of tired of trying to get something back, I guess, you know, and, yep. And that's, there's some flaws in some of that logic, but, and you know, the high school league's challenge is to make the parents feel like they've been heard and that they honor their views and they understand the emotion, but yet you still try to make the best academic based and data-based decision you can make.
And doesn't hurt their cause when you see the fact that the Big Ten is, as we're recording this, has just recently reversed its course and will begin playing football in late October, I guess it is. And so that whole winds of change in and the restriction of football has is kind of in the air, and it's got a lot of momentum right now. And it's hard to resist that, I think, at this point. And I think it's forcing people that are making these decisions to take a good, hard, objective look at the decision they made and wonder if maybe there is a way that they can go back on it and feel comfortable with that decision. I know that there are some high school league members, the board of directors, that still are unsure that this is something they want to do. They want to go back, and there's other issues that haven't been addressed. And I think they do worry that once this starts getting a runaway train kind of a momentum that they won't be able to resist it. That's kind of the way things work in our society. And I'd be very interested to see what happens on Monday, but I'm not going to make my pick yet on what's going
to
happen.
I'll introduce that in a little bit. You're going to have to commit to something, sir, but it's going to come a little bit later. I'll say this: Bob Madison, the associate director at the high school league who oversees football, he's a former, a longtime Moundsview athletic director. I thought he changed the tone of the meeting quite a bit, whether that was his intention yesterday or not. But he made the comment, you know, football players and parents are watching all these sports play, all these leagues throughout the summer and now into the fall, and they're looking and saying, well, why not us? And Bob's point was he believes that the Minnesota State High School League and its member schools are the best environment to try to have sports, because he feels that the supervision and the adherence to standards are the best. Now, you can argue that if you're, you know, in JO volleyball or AE basketball, but that's just Bob's feeling, and that's fine. He has a right to think his organization does it best. That kind of changed the tone, I thought, and you got people looking at more about the high school league's role and ability to affect more positive outcomes, and you started to hear more from other board members speak up at that point about what they thought the merits of putting football and volleyball back as fall sports could look like.
That makes sense. I mean, you're talking about basically a high school football as being kind of a control group where you have the ability to, you know, influence what can and cannot happen in terms of possible transmission of the pandemic, of the COVID virus. So it makes a lot of sense. And that's an argument that people in support of resuming play have made, that is it easier, is it better to let these kids be off on their own, or to actually have them in a place where you can make a decision, you can influence their behaviors. And I can understand that logic. There's also the fact that so many of those other leagues outside of football have competed in the summertime and even in the fall so far without any real adverse effects. I know I've talked to people, tennis coaches and basketball, people involved in basketball and volleyball, and they've all said, you know, we really didn't have that happened. It wasn't a spreading event. We didn't have any COVID cases. We made sure that kids were following the recommended protocols. Obviously, you can't worry about them when they're gone, but at least when you have them for a while and you can influence their decisions and influence their behavior, you can possibly do that in a positive way. And I think that is a significant factor in the possible there's a possible decision that they'll be coming to on Monday.
Well, they'll come back now the other way. So the Minnesota's Department of Health had representatives on the call yesterday. They started the call and they laid out some of the data they've collected, and they also gave their opinions and their role as people that have to advocate for the betterment of the health of the public. And they don't support having football. they look at it as just another opportunity as a spreading event, whether among the players or the crowds or both, and whether among the team within itself or whether team to team. And they still consider football to be a high-risk sport. Overwhelmingly, the science and the odds are in favor of the people that want to return to play. But what about the running back who lives with grandma? Does that running back not get to play because of the risks that at home? And then you say, well, you know, I know somebody made the point about officials. What about the game officials? And there's this attitude, and this is where the Let 'Em Play group gets into trouble sometimes with some of the, whether it's their own message or whether it's the fringe elements that glom onto their message, and that idea, well, you know, if you're afraid, you know, just stay home. Okay, well, what if the officials are afraid, and you don't, you know, what if the game officials are afraid, and you can't, if you want to apply that sort of dismissive, you know, well, if it doesn't work for you, stay home. Most of us are good. We're going forward. Well, if the officials aren't on board with that, you're not going to have football. So you better find a little better way to have a little empathy for those that have second thoughts.
Now, that's a really good point, because so many kids and parents, it's easy to voice your opinions on what you want because you're playing football, but there are third parties involved, and their concerns and their issues need to be taken into account as well. And they shouldn't be marginalized. And that's I think you've seen in colleges and in the pros the option to opt out. Is that option that viable for officials? I suppose it probably is, and I'm sure there'd be few that would. But I get the opinion that they're probably long about the same feelings. It's time to get going and get moving. I don't have anything to base that on. But, you know, I do think it does get frustrating to hear people dismiss those concerns out of hand, because that's something that needs to be considered. But at this point, momentum, it's kind of feeling like, you know, the truck rolling downhill right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll throw out just two more points for those that are advocating to have football back. One, I hope you're okay with limited crowds, because I would almost guarantee that there'll be limited crowds, if crowds allowed at all, for football games. I think we've seen in soccer is probably your largest fall sport as far as consistent attendance. And I think that most places, I think the limit is 250.
If they allow fans at all.
If they allow fans at all. So that's one piece. So I hope you're okay watching your son on your device, because you may or may not be able to get into the stadium. And then the second thing, and Eric Martins, the executive director of the high school, he brought this up yesterday. that, yes, Michigan reversed course. Michigan went from saying no football in the fall to having now putting football back into place. However, and I didn't research this, so I'm just going on what Eric said yesterday, that the caveat to having football back is the players have to wear masks during competition. And so if that comes to pass for Minnesota, is everybody still okay with that? So those are two things to consider here going forward as well.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to say about that. Can you play football with masks? I mean, I've been watching football over the past weekend, and I've seen a lot of mask wearing is kind of marginal and how well it's being adhered to. They ask the players to do that within a game and also wear a mouth guard at the same time. Because that's mandatory. I don't know how possible that would be. I mean, because it is a game in which you're really exerting yourself. And let's be honest, masks can, hinder that a bit, particularly if you've just got done, running 80 yards on a kickoff team or something. So that'd be interesting what the specifics of this is going to be.
I'm ready to go to the pick segment unless there's some other element to this that we didn't talk about that's important to get into here.
Well, I did write about the lawsuit, or the motion yesterday, but it's kind of taking a back seat because that motion did, which the plaintiffs claimed that the high school league violated its own bylaws by allowing the decision to move sports be made by the board of directors instead of being confirmed or made by the representative assembly. But that seems like kind of small potatoes now. We're going to have to, this is where that goes. That's going to be heard on Friday to see if that temporary injunction restraining order is going to be upheld. I would think, in light of this new news, that judge may try to put it off or not rule on it as quickly as they assume, because we want to see what happens on Monday's meeting. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I think they got there. I think they've already, how this goes on Monday, I think that the group, let them play Minnesota has certainly inserted itself into this whole process and helped make sure that the discussion was had and that, people took a good hard look at things and are willing to come back to the table. So if nothing else, you saw the power of what they were able to do as a group to put this together.
How quickly it came together too. They didn't start that Facebook group, let them play, until September 9th. And today, it's right now, this is Wednesday as we're recording, this is 1 week later, 7 days. And they're already right around 15,000 members and I think more than 17,000 petition signatures, at least at last I heard. It could be more than that by now. So it grew fast. And, it's like the director, the woman leading it, Don Gilman of Dassel Cocada, said it's like a social studies experiment. They did it. They showed the power of a group. They did it and did it the proper way, without being angry, without a whole lot of adversarial comments back and forth. It's really a good sign that things like this can happen, and that it shows that there's some power in large groups like that to making your voice heard.
Yeah, very good. I'll say one other thing too. The volleyball it's worth mentioning. They were talking about if that came back, what would that look like as far as the timing? And the question of the timing got a little bit into the high school versus club debate. And there was people that were saying that, we don't have to worry about clubs. We never do. And Jody Redmond, one of the associate directors of the high school league, to her credit, said, this isn't a club versus high school issue. This is a student athlete issue. And right now, the bulk of our student athletes, well, maybe I shouldn't say the bulk, but there's a number of student athletes who are volleyball players who elected to go the club route, and they've made the financial and other commitments to do that. And to put a season back before that ends would not probably go particularly well at the high school level. And so she's proposing that you don't look at reinstating volleyball. I think it was October 12th, if I'm not mistaken. When that fall club season that's going on, when that ends, that's when you go back and you try to put a high school high school season together. So I thought that was a good recognition of, I understand you got a different mission maybe than the clubs, but you have to look at what these large number of your student athletes, your constituents are doing, and to continue, you know, you can't just dismiss club and everything else. So I thought credit to Jody for mentioning that and having that affect the timing discussion.
Yeah, those clubs fall leagues didn't actually get put into place until August 4th when they found out there wasn't going to be any high school volleyball this fall, or at least I thought there wasn't going to be. And I know that the Northern Lights and Minnesota Select, the Coral and Crossfire and these other clubs have all come together, and those clubs, those fall leagues just took off like wildfire, they said. They couldn't believe how quickly they filled up. And there's a cost to it. I mean, it is a club. These are for-profit clubs. So if they tried to start before the end date of October 12th, that these clubs are basically targeted, and that would mean that the clubs would probably have to refund some money or a partial, you know, partial refunds. And it would also force the high school kids to decide what they're going to do at this point. It would make sense for the high school league if volleyball came back to wait until October 12th to start, at least starting to start the games. They're having some sort of practices now. And a lot of the volleyball teams are practicing like three nights a week, because these club fall leagues are practicing two nights a week. And so I don't think the practices matter that much, but I don't think you'd want to start games before October 12th.
So we've arrived at our pick segment. So you've got Monday's meeting where football and volleyball will be discussed. Certainly there may or may not be action. But if there's a decision, the decision's yes or it's no, as far as you're starting them as fall sports, which way are you going?
You know, I don't think it's quite the slam dunk it appears to be. As long as there's no new information brought to the table, no significantly new information or data that says that this is a bad idea, I'm thinking that it's going to be discussed and they're going to be a little long-winded about it. But I think eventually a vote's going to come down and you're going to have a vote that's leaning towards restarting the fall football and volleyball seasons.
I agree. But again, couching it with this board has been conservative in a lot of its decision making, and they still don't have the Minnesota Department of Health truly on the side of all this. And that's going to be something that's going to be a hard realization for the league. It's going to be, you know, reconciling that is going to be difficult, but I do think that they're going to say, you know what, let's try it. If it's a disaster, we shut it down, but let's at least try it. Yes, I agree. So we'll see. I appreciate the time and the input. Stay with Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. We'll be all over everything that it pertains to this topic the rest of this week. Of course, Monday's meeting. Plenty to stay tuned to us to follow, and we hope you will. And thanks for listening.